Have you ever thought about memorizing passages of the Bible? You know, a lot of folks these days say that it's just too hard to memorize because the Bible is complicated, it has hard words in it, and different kinds of ideas. Well, someone didn't tell that to 9-year-old Rebecca Horning. Here she is reciting Isaiah 40, 28 through 31.
Hast thou not seen, hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 28 through
30. That's cool.
That's Rebecca Horning, the primary division winner for the National Bible Bee from 2009. Oh, today we are going to talk about the power of memorizing God's Word, whether you're 5 or 95. Stay tuned. Welcome to Family Life This Week. I'm Michelle Hill. Today, we're going to talk about scripture memory on Family Life This Week, hiding God's word in our hearts. And I'm in the studio with Emmett Fowler and via FaceTime audio, Larry Fowler. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks. Appreciate you having us.
Thanks, Michelle. Glad to be on.
So I just wanted to do a slight introduction here. Emmett is the director of broadcast relations here at Family Life. So if you are hearing the program today via radio, you have him to thank for that. And his
That's not quite accurate. I mean, it's partially accurate, Michelle, but let's...
So it's not totally accurate?
Things. No. We just don't want to overstate things.
Okay, we won't overstate things. And his uncle is Larry Fowler, and Larry is the founder of Legacy Coalition, helping grandparents be intentional grandparents. And before that, he served for many years with Awana. Larry, it's my understanding that your family has a strong commitment to memorizing scripture, and that it was your mother who was the moving force behind that. Can you tell me about her?
Yeah, well, the commitment was hers, and she certainly instilled it in all of us, but it started with her. My mom just loved to memorize scripture herself, and interestingly, she never had any external motivations to do it. She just did it because she loved it.
So how would she encourage you to memorize scripture?
Well, when I was a little boy, I remember that we had a calendar from a Christian radio station on the wall of our house. We lived in central Nebraska, and we listened to KJLT was the station that we had, and they had a calendar that had a scenic picture and then a scripture verse on the calendar. And I don't know why she picked that, but she made sure that I memorized every one of those verses. So from the time I was pretty little, I couldn't tell you how old, but I'm sure 4 or 5, I was memorizing a verse a month.
Wow.
And she just insisted on it. So that became instilled in me and built a strong foundation.
Well, and obviously it started to go on generations once the grandkids came along, because Emmett, you have memories of your grandma recalling all that she has memorized.
Yeah, I have some very similar memories to my uncle. When I was really young, my grandparents had moved to another ranch. We both grew up on ranches there in central Nebraska, but I can remember being in the car with them, going to spend the weekend or spend a week with them. And to pass the time, you know, it was a 70-mile drive between our two ranches, and so I can remember having her help me pass the time by coming up with scripture memory games. And it was entertaining. And so she would give us verses to memorize. And I can certainly remember playing those games with her in the car. The other memory that I have that's very distinct, that's very similar to Larry's, is being at her house on those week visits, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she, instead of the calendar, she actually made a chart And she had the verses written down that she wanted me to memorize. And those were back, I was young enough where, you know, getting a gold star was kind of a big deal. And so she had these old gold stars. And every time I could memorize the verse, she would put a gold star on that chart. And she kept the chart on the refrigerator. And she would put a gold star by the verse when I learned it. And that was going on before kindergarten. So, yeah, 3-4 years old.
Wow. Obviously, she thought scripture memory was very important. Larry, why is scripture memory so important? What have you learned through it?
Well, it's a spiritual discipline that, like prayer or like Bible reading or anything else, it's a scriptural discipline that helps us prepare us for the battles that we face. And you don't always have a Bible that you can open. Aren't always able to hit the app on our phone and look up that Bible verse. But when it's in our memory, the Holy Spirit can bring it to our minds just when we need it. And that's one of the reasons that I appreciate scripture memory so much. During the times where life has really been hard and faced some difficult things, then those verses are there. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit brings them to mind to encourage or to strengthen and sometimes to convict. So it's a great spiritual discipline.
Now, Larry, you spent many years of your life serving with Awana, which helps young people deepen their knowledge of God by memorizing scripture. Do you have any tips on how to memorize? Can you encourage us in why we should be doing this discipline?
Yeah, well, of course, it's work. anything that's worthwhile is work. But there certainly are some tips to make it easier. If you have a verse, after you have read it through several times, say 3 or 4 times carefully, then take a piece of paper and write down the first letter of each word.
Okay.
And it's kind of like shorthand for dummies, but it gives you enough of a visual hint to help you in that intermediate process of learning. And then you recite the verse from just the first letters of each word rather than from reading the whole verse. And that's one of the best tools intermediate to help memorize.
I actually have been doing that tip. Someone gave me that tip a few months ago, and I don't know how long ago. It was back in February. I had my cheat sheet with me, and I was traveling for family life, and I had my cheat sheet on my bedside table at a hotel room, and my roommate comes in. She flew in from another part of the country, and the first thing she said to me was, "So are you with the CIA right now? Are you a code cracker?" I said, "No, I'm trying to memorize scripture. That's the only way I know how." But that is a very helpful tip, very helpful tip.
And of course, it always helps to visualize it in some way too. So anything that you can do to write it out, to create a visual, whether that's through hand motions or writing it out or something, you add another sense to your learning process, and that helps. I remember when our son, Ryan, was in, I think, second grade, I think he conveniently forgot to tell us that he had an assignment to memorize a passage of 10 verses for his Christian school. And he conveniently forgot to tell us until the night before.
Oh, no.
He had to learn 10 verses in one night, and we sat him down and said, "Okay," you know, we were not too happy with that. And we said, "You're going to write out, you're going to draw pictures for all these verses." And he did. And amazingly, he got them memorized that night and finished his assignment. And we kept that sheet that he drew the pictures on for quite a long time. It meant a lot to us.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good illustration of how that works.
Now, Emmett, going back to your grandma, I mean, she had a passion for scripture memory, a passion of hiding God's word in her heart. Did you find that you had that same passion because she had passed that on to you?
Well, I wouldn't say I had it at the same level she did. And I'm not sure very many people do, frankly. Mm-hmm. As Larry said earlier, she didn't really have an external motivation for that. It was something she was convicted to do. But she did pass that on when I was younger. And I think what that did is it allowed me to have some confidence later on in schooling, both high school and Bible college, where I had to to memorize scripture as an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, hey, I can do this because I've been doing this since before kindergarten. So I think she gave that to me. I was thinking earlier as Larry was talking, I think one other thing that she did, I don't have a specific memory of this conversation, but I'm sure she was saying things like this to me. We weren't just memorizing words out of a book. We weren't just memorizing a passage like you would a poem or something. She was communicating to me that this is God's word. This is something that will live inside us as God illuminates it through the Holy Spirit. I'm sure she wasn't saying it that way to a four-year-old, but she was communicating it to me that this is something that's life. This is spiritual life to us. And she played a very large role in my salvation story, coming to faith in Christ. And it was her example. It was her helping me memorize scripture. It was her reading Bible stories to me. I just have wonderful memories like that of her.
Well, and it seems like if she is that close to God and he's forming her character, in some ways, that's why she was so special to you, because she knew how to love.
Yeah.
She knew God's love.
Yeah, she did. And she communicated that to me as a child and my sister as well. And it wasn't just me. It was my sister who's 2 years older, but we were both memorizing verses like that when we were very young. And we would both to this day say that she, along with my parents, of course, but she has had some of the greatest spiritual impact in either of our lives.
Oh, Emmett, that's so great to hear about your grandmother, Margaret Fowler, and her legacy. We're going to hear more about her and also about memorizing scripture when we return. We got to take a break, though. We'll be right back.
He was raised on the first day. Going to scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:4.
What's the difference between a great accomplishment and just another failed attempt?
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
Walt Disney went bankrupt and was fired for lacking imagination. Thomas Edison failed 1,000 times to invent the light bulb. And Dr. Seuss's first book was rejected 27 times. But each of them eventually succeeded simply because they were persistent. Proverbs 12:11 teaches that persistence pays off, but distraction is a barrier. Well, that's what separates successful blended families from those who just tried and failed. Faithfully being persistent to work on your marriage and family over time, even in the face of discouragement, is what brings about a positive turning point for most families. Be persistent. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit familylifeblended.com.
The reality of living in a blended or step family can be tough.
I believed at 27, because I was divorced, that I was no longer qualified to do anything in God's name.
That's why there's the Family Life Blended podcast.
My husband will say, you know, there are some good parts about being a stepmom. I'm like, I know there are. It's a blessing, but it's also very hard.
The Family Life Blended podcast is part of the Family Life Podcast Network, and it's hosted by Ron Deal, an expert on blended families.
We're always working on our marriages because God is always using our marriage to work on us.
The Family Life Blended podcast brings together real, honest conversations about the complexities facing blended families.
We have to learn how to put on love in the midst of chaos.
Parent-teacher conferences and sporting events and holidays. It was just messy.
We call that around here complexity.
You can find the Family Life Blended podcast with Ron Deal wherever you get your podcasts, or go to familylife.com/podcasts.
You will be my witnesses in all Judea and Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8.
Welcome back to Family Life This Week. I'm Michelle Hill. We've been talking about scripture memory, and in particular, one important grandmother, Margaret Fowler, grandmother to Emmett Fowler, who joins me in the studio today, and mother to Larry Fowler, who is on via FaceTime. Now, Larry, you're a grandpa, and you have got to be doing something with memorizing scripture and with your grandchildren, right?
Absolutely. My wife and I work in Awana in our local church, and we work with 4-year-olds, and we have a 4-year-old grandson in the group that we serve with, and that becomes kind of a tool for us to use. And we have 3 grandsons that we live real close to, and the little 2-year-old memorizes right along with his bigger brother and wants so badly to do it. And of course, Grandma, my wife, Diane, she adds an M&M each time they say the verse correct. So there always needs to be some motivation for little kids. And so that works pretty good.
Yes.
I like the idea of M&Ms better than gold stars.
Even now, would that help you memorize
it
now?
It would.
Yeah. Well, Michelle, and just an illustration of how much it meant to my mom. And she is very unique. I'm with them, and I don't know that there's hardly any other people that I've met, maybe 1 or 2, that valued scripture memory as much as she did. It was just who she was. Hmm. And when she was 94, 95, even a year or so before she passed away, we'd go to visit her. And Emmett and I both had this experience. She had this piece of paper, a half sheet of paper, and she had written in pretty small writing columns of scripture verses that she had memorized over the years.
Wow.
And she would want to review those. And I can remember sitting with her, and for 40 minutes, my mom just recites verse after verse after verse that she's memorized. And then she always wanted to make a game out of it, too. So she would say,
that is so true.
Yeah. She would say, give me a letter of the alphabet. I want to see how many verses I can recite that begin with that letter. And right up until the end of her life, until she wasn't able to anymore, she wanted to continually refresh her mind with God's word.
Mm-hmm. What a legacy. What a special lady.
You know, I had that same memory, like Larry said. She wanted to play that game a lot. I remember times when I was in high school, it didn't feel quite as cool. You know, I mean, I was in high school and felt like I had time. But as I got older, as an adult and married, we would go and visit my grandmother, and that's exactly what she would want to do. I think she actually kind of got bored with being able just to recite verses, and that's why she would come up with the game of the alphabet game, because it made it a little more of a challenge for her.
Uh-huh.
But she had entire books memorized, and it was an amazing thing to watch.
So I have a question for Michelle. What letter of the alphabet do you think has the least number of verses that begin with that letter, not counting Q and Z and X?
Wow.
Okay, we won't stump you too long.
Okay, R.
R. There are hardly any verses that begin with the word R.
Not
the
even remember,
R.
I guess, maybe.
Well, there's a few. Of course, there's a few. Rejoice evermore.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just not very many. And she knew that. She knew that really well.
Wow. What an incredible, incredible legacy, incredible memories that she has left with you guys. I mean, she really did. That is amazing. Thank you guys for sharing the memories. Oh, Emmett, yes?
I actually have one more, and it will fit well with what you just said, Michelle. You want to talk about how it lasts. I'll get a little teary as I tell this, so just bear with me. I don't have my Bible here with me today, but if I had it, I would open up and show it to you. I have a 3x5 index card that's in my Bible, and it's my grandmother's handwriting, and it's dated 1972. Mm-hmm. I would have been 5 years old, and it's the list of verses that she had written out for me, the references. And it says, Emmett's Verses, September 1972. And it's the verses that she gave to me to memorize. And I still keep that in my Bible. So that's evidence of her lasting legacy.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge to go back and review those verses.
That you learned so many years ago.
1972 was a long time ago.
It was. Well, as Scripture is commanding us to hide God's word in our heart, that we might not sin against Him. And that's truly what she did. And she left that legacy, she lived that legacy, and she taught that legacy. It's incredible. Thanks, Emmett. Thanks, Larry, for joining me today. And thank you, Margaret Fowler, for the legacy and the memories that you passed on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're welcome, Michelle.
You know, there was a leader of the Israelites. He took over after Moses. His name was Joshua. And upon taking over as leader, God shared with him these words. Actually, God commanded him and said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you might be careful to do according to all that is written in it." And that's what Margaret Fowler did. That's also what Hannah Leary is starting to do. Hannah is a young woman who meditates on God's word day and night. And she started memorizing Bible verses at a very young age through the National Bible Bee. And I had the pleasure to talk with Hannah, really just a quick conversation about the first summer she started to memorize scripture for the Bible Bee. And she said it wasn't always that easy. Here's Hannah.
That first year, there was a lot of memory work, and I got this package in the mail of this stack of memory verses. I'm like, I can never memorize all this, and I didn't. That first year, I didn't memorize everything and was just overwhelmed kind of by the amount, but I was surprised at how much I could do. You know, I got to the end of it, and I was like, wow, I memorized, you know, 1,000 verses, and it's I never knew I could do that, you know what I mean? And so the competition motivated me to do something I never thought possible. And so when the competition wrapped up that first year, I looked at the different passages I had memorized and was just kind of going through them. And I noticed, just for an example, that in the book of Ephesians, I had like part of chapter 1, part of chapter 2, most of chapter 3 memorized. And I'm like, oh, I might as well just memorize the whole book. And so I went ahead and memorized the book of Ephesians, and it just developed in me this love and excitement about memorizing God's word. And so I continued competing ever since that first year in 2009 up until 2014.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, to start off with 1,000 verses.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Okay, so I'm sitting here going, how did you do that? I mean, was that just writing the verses out, or do you have any tricks of the trade or anything to share with us?
Right. It is an overwhelming, you know, oh my goodness, how could you ever possibly do that? But you don't know until you try. Mm. And I know for me, memorization, you know, people, they're like, oh, you must be a pro. It must come easy to you. It must be something that you're just super smart about or really diligent about. And yes, I did put a lot of time and energy into it, but your mind and your brain is a muscle. And so the more you do it, the more easier it becomes. And so when you start out, it is hard, and it is hard to retain them all. But for me, it was just keeping at it, reviewing, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Memorizing scripture is hard. It's very hard. Hey, I just want to put a little plug in for the National Bible Bee. Just so you know, there are 5 days left to sign up for this year's National Bible Bee, and we'll have a link on our website that will point you to all the information, familylifethisweek.com. I know what you might be thinking. It is just way too hard to memorize scripture, or hey, you don't even have the brain power, because that was probably my excuse about 4 months ago. I don't have the brain power. But I want to share something from my own life, and that is that I was convicted, it was probably about 4 months ago, that I spent more time working out than I did in memorizing God's word and meditating on it. So it didn't happen overnight, but I did change some things. I gave up a little bit of TV time and some other things, and I began to memorize Hebrews 11, you know, that Hall of Faith chapter, and it took a while. It did take a while, and it was hard work, but I'm happy to say that Hebrews 11 is memorized, and actually, it was so energizing that I've gone on to Hebrews 12. Because I have found that the power that God gives us to memorize is actually fun. And we learn more about His word when we hide it in our hearts. And you know, we're never too old. Yet we heard from Rebecca, who is 9, and we heard from Hannah, who's 20, but we are never too old to spend time memorizing God's word. Here's Barbara Rainey, co-founder of Family Life, sharing with me the importance of memorizing scripture as one of the spiritual disciplines.
What's important for us is that we grow in our love for Christ. We grow in getting to know him. And the more I get to know him, the more I love him, and the more I'm in awe of what he did for me. There's not a checklist. It's all about getting to know him. And so whatever system you want to use, the point is read your Bible and pray and talk to him so that you can get to know him, because that's really the purpose of spiritual disciplines, is to develop a relationship. I'm starting actually to memorize a psalm, and I haven't done any Bible memory in a long time because it was always a challenge for me. And so I decided, rather than try to memorize verses, I just wouldn't, and then I wouldn't fail. But I'm trying to memorize Psalm 139 because it's been such an encouragement to me recently. And I thought, I can do that. I can memorize that just by reading it over and over again.
That's really neat. I'm going to have to talk to Barbara the next time I see her and ask her about where she is with Psalm 139, or if she's moved on to other passages of the Bible. Okay, so my producer and production coordinator in the other room are questioning whether or not I truly have memorized Hebrews 11. So,
let's hear it. We want to hear it.
Okay. Come on, Megan. Megan's got Hebrews 11 open in her Bible to make sure that I've got everything right here. Okay, let me start. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as having pleased God. And by his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death.
Okay, fine. We believe you.
Okay, all kidding aside, this isn't about me showing off. I just want to encourage you to meditate on his word, to memorize his word. Maybe just pick a couple of verses today and start walking through that and lock it in your memory, because there are more gems in his words than in anything else that we have in front of us. I know I've learned just through Hebrews 11. Hey, coming up next week, we're going to have some encouragement for dads. We'll hear from H.B. Charles and a few others on the strength and encouragement that dads bring to their children. Hope you can join us for that. Thanks for listening. I want to thank the co-founder of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and our president, David Robbins, along with our station partners around the country. And a big thank you to our engineer today, Keith Lynch, our producers, Phil Krause and Marcus Holt. Justin Adams is our mastering engineer, and Megan Martin is our production coordinator. Our program is a production of Family Life Today, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families who change the world one home at a time. I'm Michelle Hill, inviting you to join us again next time for another edition of Family Life This Week.